Hogwarts Founders Snippets. Written by Lullaby Nell. Read by Opal Song. Part 20 of As Green as a Fresh Pickled Toad series. Summary.
You just admitted you don't know anything about acromantulas.
Another student, Garrick, points out. He doesn't look scared, though. Just excited and heavily armed. And that is why Garrick is her favorite.
Is this going to be anything like the merfolk thing?
Author's notes. These snippets were inspired by and written for Arrowsbane's Founders Headcanons 2, The Early Days, Ficlet, which they were wonderful enough to share and discuss with me. These snippets of writing were each inspired by certain lines and paragraphs in their fic, which are quoted below. So, to understand these snippets and enjoy a wonderful piece of writing, I highly recommend, and in fact demand, that you read both Part 1 and Part 2 of Arrowsbane's Founders Headcanons. These are linked in the text post. Before she met Salazar, Rowena hated getting her clothes dirty. She avoided having to study magical creatures as best she could, hid when her brothers came tumbling down the halls of the family estate with a jarvey or whatever they were into that particular week. But then she woke up, tied to a stake, and thought her life was over. Rowena Ravenclaw was raised to be a lady. She was quite the elegant and eloquent lady, too, and she took great pride in the loveliness of her manner and the gracefulness of her wand work. She saw herself as intelligent, witty, and well-educated, and of good sense for avoiding the filth and wildness of life. In hindsight, she realizes, she had been raised to be an arrogant, nearsighted, ignorant snob who assumed she already knew everything and immediately had all the answers. Teenage Rowena had needed nothing more than having her face shoved into the nearest pile of mud. And as deeply grateful as she is that someone actually bothered to wake her up, she is never going to admit that meeting a muddy boy named Salazar Slytherin, being pushed into a bog, ending up on the run in a creature-infested wilderness, having to fake an elopement, being tried for witchcraft, and nearly dying at the stake is the best thing to ever happen to her. Salazar would be insufferable, even more so than he already is. And that cannot be allowed to happen. As a rule, magical creature studies is limited to the more advanced students, if only because they can run faster and escape.
Professor Ravenclaw, one student says nervously, I don't think this is a good idea.
We're here to learn, Alda, and great discoveries are rarely cautious.
You just admitted you don't know anything about acromantulas, another student, Garrick, points out. He doesn't look scared, though, just excited and heavily armed. And that is why Garrick is her favorite.
Is this going to be anything like the merfolk thing?
It's not going to be underwater. Of course, it'll be completely different, Rowena replies.
That's not what he was asking, and you know it, Alda mutters.
The only way to find the answers is to go out and look for them. This will be a learning experience for all of us, Rowena says wisely. Experience is the only path towards truly knowing anything.
I don't think I need the experience of being eaten by acromantulas to know this is a bad idea,
Edwina says firmly, having already sent a message to Professor Salazar. He made her swear an oath to send word if Professor Ravenclaw so much as glanced at the forest after the dragon incident.
Rian, later, will tell her of the hilarious way that Professor Slytherin absent-mindedly picked up her message, turned frightfully pale, and then tripped over a chair trying to run out of the room. She, in turn, will later delight the dinner table, telling everyone of the half-shouting argument, half-duel, between professors that happened on the lawn. Alda will be relieved, Garrick disappointed, and Edwina will win dessert off him because Professor Ravenclaw really does fight dirty.
Which, fair enough, because he's little more than a teen himself. Not even 22, and he's dragging three others like him up north to prod at rocks with their wands and hope a castle will magically build itself. It doesn't. So they cheat and buy one off a local laird.
What's wrong with it? Godric demands, despite the fact that even he can very clearly see what is wrong with it.
Nothing's wrong with it, dear, Helga says kindly. It's just lopsided.
Sideways, Rowena says flatly, squinting at what can only loosely be called a livable structure.
The word you're looking for is sideways.
At least it isn't flat, Godric grumbles, glancing at Helga and Rowena's own attempt. People can go inside his tower.
It's Salzar, who gets shit-faced at a local pub and winds up making the stairs play tag. When he sobers up, he can't fix them. So he just throws his hands in the air and declares, I meant to do that. Stop laughing, Godric!
It's Rowena who gets them in some semblance of order. They follow patterns now, at least most of the time, if kept in a good mood. No one ever asks how, and it's probably for the best. It's less embarrassing and much more complimentary if people think she's just magically exceptional and intimidating. Which she is, excuse you very much. Instead of admitting that she taught their staircases how to dance to the tune of Helga's raunchiest folk songs. Finally, she thinks, all those dance lessons were good for something.
That's a story for another day, though.
Another story for another day is the time Salzar puts the Slytherin dungeons in. When he wasn't nearly drowning, he was still going around looking like a particularly unhappy half-drowned cat. His dignity not aided by that time he actually hissed at Godric for pointing out that he could ask for help if he needed it, or at least a towel.
It's not that bad, Rowena, Godric protests. You're overreacting.
Rowena's response, of course, to being told that she is overreacting is not overreacting. Godric's startled scream in the distance is because of reasons entirely unrelated to a swift and painful revenge.
The students of Hogwarts quickly come to a general consensus of, if anybody asks, you lie your ass off because Hogwarts is the best school in the world. You got it?
Best school in the world, one student says. You've never even been to the continent. How would you know? I didn't specify what it was best at.
That's devious.
Yeah, Professor Slytherin taught me that one when he got us out of trouble with a goblin group in Ireland. Watching that man lie was like watching a work of art be made. I mean, we still had to book it later and our inn got set on fire, but it almost completely worked and it was beautiful.
And Salzar? Salzar is a firm believer in preventative kidnapping, which is how half of the students wound up at Hogwarts anyway, and has a bad habit of just grabbing kids by the scruffs of their necks and apparating to the school without so much as a by your leave.
Does Professor Slytherin count as a suspicious character?
A tiny Slytherin girl asks. The elder Slytherin, giving the stranger danger lecture, pauses to seriously consider the question. They, along with the tiny girl and many others, were also kidnapped slash led away by a suspicious character and ended up at Hogwarts. And it honestly cannot be denied that Professor Slytherin is definitely suspicious, certainly a character, and a very suspicious character indeed.
I don't know, he says finally. I think he might be an exception clause in this particular instance.
The tiny children all looking up at him consider this. Then they all nod, as though he has said something very wise. Even tiny Slytherins are very well versed in the concept of exception clauses.
Meanwhile, Helga clucks over the skinny frame and threadbare clothes, before setting yet another plate of food in front of the waifish child, and fixes him with a look that says, "Now, dear, you eat everything on your plate, or else." Wisely, the kid doesn't ask what else means.
"It means you cry for a bit, and then cook them an entirely different meal more to their tastes," Godric says, squinting, when Helga brings up this success at a meeting. "And then apologize and cry some more." "I've changed," Helga says stubbornly, because she has, and that isn't true anymore, most of the time. "Children are monsters and easily manipulated, and I'm overworked. They can eat what I've made for them, and that's it." Godric stares at her and squints a bit harder. Salzar would probably ask pointedly if he needed glasses, if he wasn't already wearing some.
"Shut up, Godric," Helga says.
The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic on archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!